Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is August 13, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about mining firm Hut 8 reports 28% drop in Q2 revenue following Bitcoin halving. C Labs acquires Suma to boost crypto interoperability on Celo. U.S. prosecutors seize Bitcoin allegedly tied to Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Hamas. The Federal Reserve is experimenting with a digital dollar. How DeFi degens are gaming Ethereum's money Legos. Now let's get started. Mining firm Hut 8 reports 28% drop in Q2 revenue following Bitcoin halving. Canadian Bitcoin miner Hut 8 announced its Q2 2020 earnings Thursday, reporting a sharp drop in revenue. However, the rising value of the firm's Bitcoin holdings helped Hut 8 finish the quarter in the black. The publicly traded company mined 795 Bitcoin (BTC) last quarter, a 29% decrease from the 1,116 BTC mined during the prior quarter. As a result, revenue declined 28% to $9.2 million, $7 million United States dollars. Management mainly attributed this to the Bitcoin halving that took place on May 11, writing, "The network difficulty decreased subsequent to the halving by 15%, but quickly returned back to levels prior to the halving. This posed a difficult challenge to many Bitcoin miners as they saw the Bitcoin block reward drop by 50% with similar network difficulty rates, meaning that revenue dropped by nearly 50% for all Bitcoin miners, including Hut 8. Despite a $6.4 million gross loss for Q2, Hut 8 reported $2.8 million in net income thanks to a $9.4 million gain on the remeasurement of its Bitcoin holdings. Hut 8 has 2,954 BTC on its balance sheet as of the end of Q2 2020. The company also noted it had successfully raised $8.3 million in gross proceeds from its public offering, which closed near the end of the quarter. According to management, the additional capital has already been committed to upgrading its existing mining equipment. This upgrade is a big step towards modernizing Hut 8's equipment and increasing the overall efficiency of its Bitcoin mining fleet, the company said in a statement. As of press time, Hut 8 shares have declined 2% following the earnings release. C Labs acquires Suma to boost crypto interoperability on Celo. It was a match made in Silicon Valley heaven. The token-funded startup C Labs just acquired the decentralized finance DeFi startup Suma, best known for making wrapped Ethereum tokens that can represent locked amounts of Bitcoin. The acquihire bolsters C Labs' multifaceted engineering team, which specializes in Bitcoin, Zcash and Cosmos projects in addition to Celo software projects. Marek Olszewski, CTO of C Labs, said the newcomers will help the Celo community execute on the platform's interoperability vision. "Over the last 2 years we've built the interoperability space from scratch. We're excited to continue that work with Celo," said Suma co-founder James Prestwich, whose startup was acquired for an undisclosed amount. With the addition of 6 people from Suma, C Labs Olszewski said there are now 100 people on staff. Along those lines, C Labs engineer Tim Moriton said the goal is to make sure people with established roles in different crypto projects are involved with the Celo community as well. Moriton added the priorities for 2020 are smoothing value transfers in and off of the Celo platform, including value from Bitcoin or Ethereum, and getting the Celo mobile app into the hands of thousands and thousands of people who don't have cheap or easy access to financial services, but they do have access to a smartphones. C Labs has raised more than $40 million so far, through a combination of venture capital and token sales. Much like Facebook's dwindling Libra project, Celo's stated goal is boosting financial inclusion in emerging markets. The startup has remote staff working in Latin America, Asia, and Africa, in addition to the team in California. U.S. prosecutors seize Bitcoin allegedly tied to Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Hamas. The U.S. Department of Justice (DOJ) announced the largest ever seizure of terrorist organizations' cryptocurrency accounts on Thursday, including millions of dollars in 300 crypto accounts. In a press release Thursday, the DOJ announced it had investigated and dismantled three terrorist financing cyber-enabled campaigns involving Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant (ISIS). Legal documents filed Thursday show the DOJ is trying to seize Bitcoin from 155 addresses it alleges were used by Al-Qaeda to fund terrorism and arrest two individuals allegedly involved with facilitating crypto transfers for Hamas. In a complaint for forfeiture, the FBI, Homeland Security Investigations, SHI, and Internal Revenue Service Cyber Crimes Unit claim that Al-Qaeda created a sophisticated money laundering operation through a network of Telegram channels, which they used to solicit Bitcoin donations intended to fund acts of terror. Al-Qaeda and affiliated terrorist groups have been operating a BTC money laundering network using Telegram channels and other social media platforms to solicit BTC donations to further their terrorist goals, the complaint read. As described below, Al-Qaeda and affiliated terrorist groups operate a number of Telegram channels and purport to act as charities when, in fact, they are soliciting funds for the Mujahideen. The complaint starts with donations sent to a Telegram group called Tawhid and Jihad Media, which began soliciting Bitcoin donations in April 2019. Overall, the investigators found 155 different crypto addresses they claim are tied to Al-Qaeda and various other organizations allegedly supporting the terrorist group. Funds were sent to gift card exchanges and other platforms, according to the filing. The defendant properties are subject to forfeiture to the United States as assets of a foreign terrorist organization engaged in planning or perpetrating any federal crime of terrorism, the complaint said. Crypto Services, a separate affidavit in support of an arrest warrant, detailed how Mehmet Akti and H. Samet and Karata allegedly stored and transferred cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, Ether, XRP and EOS on behalf of Al-Qassam, Hamas military wing. The affidavit alleges the two violated money services business regulations and the Bank Secrecy Act. Investigators used Chainalysis and Exigent to track Bitcoin transfers from these organizations over the last 18 months. In a blog post, Chainalysis said authorities seized more than $1 million from terror campaigns. The blog post went on to describe how the company tracked the funds, noting that many of the addresses are hosted at various exchanges. According to the Middle East Media Research Institute, Telegram groups were soliciting Bitcoin for terrorist groups as recently as July 2020. The Federal Reserve is experimenting with a digital dollar. The U.S. Federal Reserve is actively investigating distributed ledger technologies and how they might be used for digitizing the dollar. Federal Reserve Board Governor Lael Brainard said the U.S. Central Bank has been testing DLT over the past several years to study what a digital currency might do to the existing payments ecosystem, monetary policy, financial stability, and the banking sector. With these important issues in mind, the Federal Reserve is active in conducting research and experimentation related to distributed ledger technologies and the potential use cases for digital currencies, Brainard said Thursday at the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco's Innovation Office Hours. Brainard cited the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic as one issue that reinforced the need for immediate and trusted access to funds, noting that recipients of emergency stimulus funds spent them quickly, indicating they urgently needed access. The COVID-19 crisis is a dramatic reminder of the importance of a resilient and trusted payments infrastructure that is accessible to all Americans, she said. It was notable that after a sharp reduction in spending early in the COVID-19 crisis, many households increased their spending starting on the day they received emergency relief payments. The idea of a digital dollar as a tool to distribute emergency stimulus funds is not new. Congress has been kicking the idea around since at least March. However, no concrete public efforts have been made to create a blockchain-based central bank digital currency in the U.S. Experimentation. U.S. lawmakers have asked Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell about the potential benefits to a digital dollar in the past. The regulator said last November that the central bank is carefully analyzing the potential benefits as well as the costs. At the time, Powell said the Fed was not actively developing a digital dollar, that it might not offer the same benefits to U.S. consumers that other nations' central bank digital currencies would offer their citizens, and that there are questions about privacy and consumer protection. Brainard echoed these questions in her speech Thursday, but her remarks indicate the Fed is further along in its experimentation than has previously been confirmed. To enhance the Federal Reserve's understanding of digital currencies, the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston is collaborating with researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in a multi-year effort to build and test a hypothetical digital currency oriented to central bank uses, Brainard said. The code from these experiments will be published under an open-source license for the general public to experiment with it. International efforts. Brainard said the existence of other CBDCs and private cryptocurrencies, like Bitcoin and Libra, underscore the need for the U.S. to evaluate cryptocurrencies. Digital currencies, including central bank digital currencies, CBDCs, present opportunities but also risks associated with privacy, illicit activity, and financial stability, she said. This prospect has intensified calls for CBDCs to maintain the sovereign currency as the anchor of the nation's payment systems. She also singled out one country in particular, noting China has moved ahead rapidly on its version of a CBDC. The Fed needs to remain on the frontier of research and policy development given the dollar's role in the world, she said. Her views have been echoed in the past by former Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, Chairman Chris Giancarlo, who is now a director with the Digital Dollar Project, which has called for tokenizing the dollar. Giancarlo has appeared before Congress three times this summer to advocate this approach. Like Brainard, Giancarlo has said a digital dollar would benefit the U.S. both in terms of quickly distributing or transferring funds when needed, as well as continue to maintain the dollar's dominance in the global economy. Many questions remain before the U.S. can even consider a CBDC, Brainard said Thursday. They include whether a CBDC issued by the Fed would be legal tender under the law. A significant policy process would be required to consider the issuance of a CBDC, along with extensive deliberations and engagement with other parts of the federal government and a broad set of other stakeholders, she said. The Federal Reserve has not made a decision whether to undertake such a significant policy process, as we are taking the time and effort to understand the significant implications of digital currencies and CBDCs around the globe. How DeFi Degens are gaming Ethereum's money Legos. First there were Tendies and YFI. Then came, and went, YAM. And, as of yesterday, we have based money. Meet today's decentralized finance DeFi, in what amounts to a crossover between massive multiplayer online MMO games, like World of Warcraft, and crypto pump and dump schemes. These aren't the same DeFi projects launched earlier this summer, said Amentum Capital co-founder Stephen McKee. These new projects are about leveraging Ethereum's tech for unintended uses. They're about making crypto fun again. They're about making money. YAM Finance launched Tuesday. By the following day, YAM shot upwards of $160 per token and had some $700 million in no-loss collateral obligations under contract, aka yield farming. Early Thursday morning, YAM entered GitHub Valhalla when a bug locked the project's governance and $750,000 treasury. The token's market cap swiftly lost $60 million in 35 minutes. Playing the game, from first heartbeat to last breath in less than 48 hours. But those are the rules of DeFi's newest toy, minimally viable monetary experiments, as YAM Finance dubbed itself. The longer it takes you to do due diligence in this cycle, the lower your alpha, McKee told CoinDesk in a phone interview. If you are clued in to play the game, play it. If not, sit out to the next one. McKee was an early liquidity provider for Based Money, another DeFi MMO game, as he likened it to. The project's anonymous ghouls founding team welcomed its users warmly via Tor. We are live. Get the fuck in, you degenerates. Play by the rules, even if you don't know them. Does the project have a governance structure? Where can I stake collateral to farm? What pool has the best returns? These are the questions DeFi degenerates, or degens, shoot back and forth ad nauseum in various community Telegram and Discord channels. For YAM, the central rule was know thy rebase, the algorithmic supply dump issued every 12 hours to push the token's value back toward $1. The token was bid up to as high as $167, according to CoinGecko. Traders rushed to take profits before the rebase. After, they pumped the token's value back up. Based Money isn't much different, minus a few rule changes. Farm the based token, push the token price up and storm out the door before the algorithm changes the rules. The Based Protocol is a DeFi game of chicken designed to shake out weak hands and yield the highest gains for those who understand the rules, the website reads. Based is trading hands at $128 at time of writing, according to CoinSecco. DeFi MMO is all possible because of Ethereum's composable nature, Aave CEO and founder Stani Kulichov said in a recent Chainlink blog. Often analogized to Lego bricks, Ethereum applications can be snapped together to create novel financial projects. Yield farming makes liquidity just another plastic brick in the box, he said. If that product is good, it will get network effects quickly since liquidity moves in an interoperable fashion as well, Kulichov said. DeFi composability. Yet, composability does not translate to product safety, Open Zeppelin security researcher Austin Williams told CoinDesk in an email. Just ask YAM investors. It is important to understand, however, that just because a project is composed of code that comes from several other audited projects does not mean that the new amalgamation is safe, Williams said. That said, yield farming stands as a better alternative to initial coin offerings, ICOs. Yield farmers are rewarded with a project's native token for lending liquidity to its market. In other words, you don't get burnt for swapping fiat for an unproven token. It's not like these projects have not warned users beforehand about the risks, either. Both YAM Finance and Base Money publicly broadcasted that the code banks were unaudited. In it for the memes and the money. This doesn't make it a smart play, or even a good look, for an industry egg faced with scams. Those who bought YAM or Base tokens at retail prices paid for every farmer's ticket into the arena, crypto blogger Leftris Karapetsis said Thursday. The bad side of farming is the DeFi Chad or DeFi Degen. The kind of meme-driven farmer who jumps from protocol to protocol without any thought on contract safety, chasing the biggest yield, dumping their tokens to the new guys and then moving on, he wrote. But it is lucrative for interest-hungry farmers. It's also really fun. A community that didn't exist 30 hours ago, through the power of memes and financial incentive alignment, is about to get a higher voter turnout than the U.S. presidential election usually does, YAM Finance Telegram owner Eric Meltzer said early Thursday morning, referring to a governance vote to save the project. A shower of when rebase? Memes and emojis greeted Meltzer's comment. Within hours the whole project was all but bricked. But don't worry, a YAM 2.0 is already in the works. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.